Our Lord is on a mission from God, sent by his Father. He is God. He's come into the world, and he is on a mission to save us. And he works hard at it, as he did in the episode recalled in today's gospel, where he spent his whole time with the people and ministered to their every need. He was concerned about the salvation of their soul. Indeed, that's why he had come into the world, to save their souls. He didn't need to come into the world to feed them. He had fed them with manna falling from heaven, and he provides his people with every good as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he came into the world because people needed to see the mercy of God. They needed to see their salvation. And they did see, and they heard, and they witnessed the power of God worked in their midst through this one man who was also God, who proposed himself as the salvation of all. The prophets before our Lord had always worked signs and wonders, as we read about in today's first reading from the second book of Kings, where Elisha also multiplies the bread for the people to eat, and the barley loaves. And the people recognize him for who he is, a prophet sent by God who speaks in the name of the Lord. But we know that the greater miracle in all of these encounters between God and his people is that God is calling us away from our sinfulness and selfishness, away from our path, the path that leads us to death. And that, of course, is the greater miracle. That is indeed the greater miracle. It is a greater miracle to be saved from sin than it is to be fed miraculously by loaves and fishes that have been multiplied. Our Lord had compassion on his people. He saw that they were hungry, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, that they were in need. And he challenged his apostles to believe that he could provide for them. And the apostles were not altogether convinced until our Lord actually worked the miracle. And when he did work the miracle, everyone recognized him for who he was. They said, he's a prophet. Truly, this is the prophet, the one who has come into the world. And they wanted to be with him. But our Lord knew instinctively that they were so weak and so attached to comfort in this world that it wouldn't be long before they got it all mixed up. They knew he was a prophet, more than a prophet, not just a prophet, but the one who was promised to come into the world. They identified him as the Messiah, basically. But they were looking for a Messiah that would give them food in this world, that would provide them with the needs of this world, and who would ultimately deliver them from the oppression of the Romans and of all the temporal difficulties that they were experiencing. And as we know, our Lord crossed the lake after this miracle and went to the other side, and the people followed him there because they were looking for food for their belly. They wanted to follow our Lord so that he would feed them, so maybe they wouldn't have to work, free handout for the rest of their lives. He would give them everything they needed. That wasn't why our Lord had come. Our Lord worked this miracle out of compassion, and he was trying to lift up their hearts, lift up their minds to something more important. But in their human weakness and in our human weakness, we easily get things wrong. We easily get sidetracked and forget what it is our Lord really came to do. And as we'll read about in the discourse on the bread and life, they were very eager to receive this human bread that would take their hunger pains away. But when he began to speak about the Eucharist, that was a whole different story, completely different. Suddenly, They were no longer as interested. They found his words difficult and hard to take. And it was as though he had never worked a miracle. And we see this over and over again in the scriptures, where our Lord would work, even in the Old Testament, where our Lord would deliver his people from bondage and slavery, or deliver them from their enemies. And no sooner had they been freed and seen the power of God, you know, these stupendous miracles, God bringing water out of a rock, and the rock followed them through the desert, feeding them with bread from heaven, and then quails when they asked for quails. A flock of quails would fly into their camp out of nowhere. Over and over, he worked these stupendous miracles, and then they'd fall away. They'd turn aside. And it's real, and this is what happens here in today's gospel, and it's also what very often happens with us. We see the power of God. We see his miracles worked in our life. We find ourselves lifted up by his providence. And then when it seems as though he's not doing what we want, what we desire, we act as though he's not around. He doesn't care. He doesn't hear our prayers. He doesn't answer us in our need. But the whole point of our Lord working these miracles, but then leaving his people in a sort of position where they would still have to make an act of faith, is precisely what our Lord requires of us. He gives us reasons to believe. He gives us signs of his presence. He gives us the truth. And yet he's not going to make it entirely easy. Life is a challenge. God deserves all of our love, and he has a right to put us to the test. We ask not to be put to the test, but our Lord has a right to see how much we will love him. And in the spiritual life, the goal really is to love God with his own love, is to see what he has done for us and try to return it. St. John of the Cross and St. Therese following him say that love is returned by love alone. That's the only thing that is really worthy of God. And the language of love is sacrifice. Language of love is remaining faithful in the lurch, in difficult times, you know, believing in the presence of God when we don't feel the presence of God, believing in his power to lift us up when we would rather be angry or disappointed or pout, you know, or be a spoiled brat. Those are the times in which God is giving us the opportunity to do something beautiful for him. It's like when our Lord finally, you know, granted St. Thomas what he wanted. St. Thomas was obstinate, you know, in his refusal to believe in the resurrection. I will not believe unless I put my fingers in the nail marks in his hands and my hand into his side. So our Lord says, come here, put your hand in my side, put your fingers in the nail marks in my wounds. And yet the blessing of our Lord goes on those who believe without seeing. Who believe without seeing. And that challenge is in all of our lives. We find that challenge in each and every one of our lives. We are challenged to believe in God's providence. We are challenged to accept his holy will, even though we don't see the ultimate outcome. We expect, like the Jews did in the Old Testament, that if we follow God, everything is going to work out the way we want it to. That if we're faithful, you know, that we will get what we want. And that was a big error. People that were rich, had many children, were considered blessed by God. And those who were barren, who were poor, who had leprosy, who were blind, crippled, all that, they were cursed by God. That was, an Old Testament heresy, which our Lord blew out of the water. And this is one of the reasons why his people found him to be a scandal. St. Paul says, you know, he was the cross is a scandal to the Jews, a stumbling block to the Jews, because they had this false notion that if the Messiah were to come, you know, he is going to be totally victorious in the way that we think he's going to be victorious and he's going to deliver us from every suffering and trial. But the Messiah, when he came into the world, was the Anoim, was the suffering servant. And he ultimately was murdered by the very people that were expecting him to deliver him, and by the oppressors, the Romans. And so that was, you know, just a total contradiction, an upturning of their way of looking at things. And we who are followers of Christ, you know, have to reject this heresy, you know, and we do in principle, but in practice that's the problem. That's the real problem. In practice, when we come up against the cross, we you know, are angry with God or angry with our brothers and sisters or disappointed, discouraged. Perhaps sometimes we stop praying. Perhaps we you know, ask, why me? You know, the only one who really has a right to say why me is our Lord and our Blessed Mother. Why them? They didn't do anything. The rest of us, you know, deserve to suffer. And yet God doesn't want us to suffer in despair or futilely or without hope. Our Lord himself has taken upon his own humanity the burden of our sins. Although he didn't have to, it was totally gratuitous, he didn't deserve to suffer, but he has borne our burdens. He has borne our sins. He has taken our sins to the cross and he has lifted them up. And because of that, he has really given us the power to accept the cross. That is the power of God. We want to know the power of God, the real miracle of grace. It's to accept the cross. It's to find in our union with the Lord through the sacraments, through prayer, through divine providence, to find his grace in the midst of that difficulty. If we read the lives of the saints, we know that they understood the language of love. They embraced the language of love. They found happiness in the midst of their difficulties and trials and sorrows. Saint Vincent de Paul used to say that if things were always going well, or even if they started going well for a short amount of time, he used to get worried. He used to believe that God had no longer was blessing him. And then if something went awry and caused him disturbance, he would go into the chapel and he wouldn't leave until his peace had returned. Now, we can't always do that, but he had discovered something precious that he wasn't going to let go. He had understood that the providence of God is found in trial. And through his willingness to follow our Lord on the path and his perseverance, he was able to find joy there. So that when things did go wrong, when things did cause him trial and difficulty, he was able to go before the Blessed Sacrament and find his peace. Now, again, we may not be there right now. It may be more difficult for us to find our peace. We shouldn't be discouraged if we don't. But we should stay on the path. That's the path that our Lord wants each and every one of us on. And he will reward us for that. He will bless us for remaining on that path. And especially here today on Sunday, the first day of the week, as we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, of course, that's what we're supposed to do. The path leads here, ultimately, where we lift up our hearts to the Lord and lift them up with everything that goes along with our life, everything that causes us joy, everything that causes us sorrow, everything that we want to have, and especially the things that we would rather be rid of. You know, we have them, we bring them to the Lord, and they are precious in his sight because of his saving love, his sacrificial love, and his redemptive suffering that he has offered to the Father on the cross. So the power of God is made manifest in his providence. And sometimes, because we are weak, he manifests that power in extraordinary ways, as he did in today's gospel. But more often than not, he manifests that power in ways that nobody notices. Sometimes, you know, we barely notice it. But we need to be more perceptive. We need to recognize the power and providence of God in the cross. We need to know that he feeds us with a more substantial, what St. Thomas would call a supersubstantial bread, which is not the bread of this world, but which is his own life in the Eucharist and in the grace that he gives us to carry our cross. So today, as we receive Holy Communion, we can ask for that grace. We can ask for the grace to have true joy, a true appreciation for the providence of God, and not fall into that heresy, thinking that, you know, if God is good to us and if we're doing the right thing, everything is going to work out the way we expect it to. It's not that way. It's not that way at all. The providence of God is his blessing, but he has a higher ideal, a higher vision of things, and it's we that need to conform our vision to his, not his to ours. That's the struggle, but that's also the blessing, and it's the freedom of the children of God.